This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And while funerals are being conducted up in Newtown, Connecticut for the victims of the Sandy Hook school tragedy, the inventory of firepower in the United States of America is once again a topic for debate, not unexpectedly. The politics of gun and gun rights is back on the agenda. Fact, there are more guns in the United States than any other nation in the world. Americans also have the highest gun ownership per capita rate, about 90 guns for every 100 Americans. Is it good marketing or good politics by someone? Is the Second Amendment responsible for the record gun sales in the U.S.? Is the National Rifle Association responsible for the proliferation of weapons in the United States? Does gun culture come from somewhere else and something else about America? And what of the military-style weapons so popular in the U.S., the AR-15 Bushmaster M4 carbine semi-automatic rifle used in Newtown, one of a class of weapons called assault weapons? A semi-automatic means that it will shoot a bullet as fast as you can pull the trigger. Fully automatic are only issued to military and are illegal in the United States. They spray an entire clip once you pull the trigger a single time. But semi-automatic is deadly, as we saw last Friday. And the specific Adam Lanza weapon, the AR-15 Bushmaster M4 carbine, is actually under an assault weapons ban that nationally expired in the United States but is still in effect in the state of Connecticut. The specific Adam Lanza weapon was exempt, it appears, from that Connecticut regulation, even in a gun-tough state like Connecticut. Investigators are still looking at all of these details, though. Two voices now to talk about all of this. Paul Waldman is a contributing editor at the American Prospect. Also joining us is Stephen Smith, professor of political sciences at Washington University in St. Louis. Paul and Stephen, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Good to be with you.
What I would like to do, Paul, is begin assessing the political power of the NRA and then, Stephen, discuss with you and mix it up a little bit the history of the assault weapons ban in the United States and what the politics around that actually was back in the 1990s. But Paul Waldman, is the NRA an effective lobbying organization or something of a political bully on Capitol Hill?
Well, it's both. The research that I've done on the NRA's role in elections actually shows that they're something of a paper tiger. It turns out that when you examine systematically the money that they spend in elections and their endorsements, which are much sought after, it turns out that they don't actually bring members of Congress much benefit. And they lose as many races as they win. In this election, especially, for instance, there were 8 Senate races where they spent a substantial amount of money, over $100,000, to try to get their friends elected and to punish their enemies. They lost 7 out of the 8. And that's typical for a year in which Democrats do well. When Democrats do well, the NRA does poorly. And when Republicans do well, the NRA does well. But it turns out they don't have much of an impact race by race when you look at it. Now, that's a different question from what happens on Capitol Hill. On Capitol Hill, it's certainly the case that that Democratic members of Congress have bought into the idea that the NRA will cause their defeat if they stand up to them. And Republicans, as the Republican Party has grown more conservative and more centered in the South and in rural areas, almost every single Republican incumbent in Congress gets endorsed by the NRA. So they have almost a complete wall of support from the Republican side of the aisle.
Which makes me wonder, I mean, what would constitute anything more effective and powerful than what the NRA already has? I mean, they certainly have lawmakers working at their behest, intimidated by their perceived power, if not their actual power, based on your research. I mean, I can't imagine what would be more effective than where the NRA stands right now. And the head of the NRA, Executive Vice President Wayne LaPierre, can say things like this as he talked during the beginning of the presidential campaign with real impunity. Listen.
The president will offer the Second Amendment lip service and hit the campaign trail saying he's actually been good for the Second Amendment. But it's a big, fat, stinking lie, just like all the other lies that have come out of this corrupt administration. It's all part of a massive Obama conspiracy to deceive voters and hide his true intentions to destroy the Second Amendment in our country.
Wayne LaPierre of the NRA speaking before the Florida Conservative Political Action Conference back in September of 2011. And weapon sales spiked after Obama was elected. Stephen S. Smith, what do you make of the rhetoric of the NRA today versus the rhetoric of the gun debate in the 1990s?
Well, in the 1990s, what was critical was that law enforcement really got behind the assault weapon ban. They proved critical. There were some episodes that led law enforcement to observe that they were being outgunned by the criminals. And this weighed in heavily on some of the pivotal members of Congress. And the focus on the gun is a little bit off target here, I think, because law enforcement cared almost as much about the size of the magazine. The assault weapons ban not only banned certain kinds of guns, but also banned the sale, manufacture of magazines that could hold more than 10 rounds. And it's the size, it's the number of shots that can get off quickly that really concerned law enforcement at that time, and I think still does.
Well, let's listen to some of the rhetoric back in the 1990s. Here's James Brady, the Reagan administration press secretary, at the signing of the Brady Bill back in 1993.
Too many young people believe that a gun is the answer to their problems. I can tell them it is not. I can tell them about the pain and the frustration. I hope that they will listen. Today, we know that someone was listening. After nearly 7 years, the Brady Bill is about to become the Brady Law.
James Brady speaking there. Of course, an individual with a head injury, a bullet injury to the brain during the assassination attempt on President Reagan. The Brady Bill, of course, delivered the background check that exists in every gun purchase, at least on a standard sort of retail gun purchase. It is a regulation that was actually effective in this case in Newtown, Connecticut. Reports are that Adam Lanza tried to buy a weapon, but refused the background check and was therefore turned away from a retail establishment in Connecticut. Here is President Clinton speaking about gun violence just a short time after that 1993 signing. Here he is in October of 1994.
Why is violence going up so much among young people in our country? Violence begets violence, begets violence, begets violence. It has to end somewhere.
Paul Waldman, the NRA was partly responsible for turning that rhetoric completely around to the tone that we hear today, where President Obama, excluding his remarks in reaction to the Newtown shooting, wasn't speaking that way at all.
No, and what we've seen over the last 15 years is there really hasn't been any kind of a debate. We've had more discussion about guns and gun policy in the last 4 days than we have in the last 15 years. Because Democrats on a national level were afraid to talk about the issue, you really had only a one-sided debate. The only people talking about guns were the pro-gun forces. As we heard in that clip from Wayne LaPierre, some of the rhetoric is so kind of outlandish and apocalyptic that I think that that's one of the things that that should be part of this discussion. There's been a change in gun culture over the last couple of decades where, for instance, over the last 3 decades, really, gun ownership has declined. Fewer and fewer people are owning guns, but gun sales haven't. And the NRA and the gun manufacturers encourage gun owners to amass larger and larger arsenals. And so you've had this change in gun culture where it's not just about the person who has a hunting rifle up in their attic. Now people are getting more and more and more guns. They are prey to this kind of apocalyptic rhetoric that tells them that the government is coming any day and they have to stockpile and get bigger weapons and more ammunition. The kind of prototypical gun owner now is not that person who has the hunting rifle in their attic, but it's the person who's waiting for the end times with, 10 assault rifles and 20 handguns.
Again, I have to say, Paul Waldman, a sign of the success of the NRA in delivering a message that produces gun sales and therefore more advocacy for maintaining the Second Amendment as it is now. Stephen Smith, I'm going to play you a clip of Dianne Feinstein speaking over the weekend in reaction to the Newtown shooting on what she intends to do. And then we'll talk about whether the political planets are aligned for her to possibly be successful here. Listen.
I'm going to introduce in the Senate, and the same bill will be introduced in the House, a bill to ban assault weapons. It will ban the sale, the transfer, the importation, and the possession, not retroactively, but prospectively. And it will ban the same for big clips, drums, or strips of more than 10 bullets. So there will be a bill. We've been working on it now for a year. We've tried to take my bill from 94 to 2004 and perfect it.
California Democrat Senator Dianne Feinstein, are the planets aligned politically? Is what she's saying going to find political resonance on Capitol Hill, Stephen Smith?
Well, I think as much as we've seen anyway in the last 10 or 15 years, but I'm not very optimistic that gun control advocates will win the day. Republicans still control the House, and Republicans have generally been about 4-1 against gun control of virtually any kind. They, of course, can filibuster legislation in the Senate, which probably will have some majority for an assault weapons ban.
Stephen, what about law enforcement stepping up to the plate once again and Mayor Bloomberg taking a leadership role here in New York? He's a profoundly passionate gun control advocate.
All that can matter, but the NRA, the Gun Owners of America, and other groups are extremely powerful, especially within the Republican Party. And I think any Republican who opposes or supports an assault weapons ban will find that they have an awful lot of money stacked up against them in their primary next time around.
Stephen Smith, professor of political science at Washington University in St. Louis. The NRA, too powerful to push back on this point. Paul Waldman, before we go, quickly.
They are very powerful. The big roadblock is the House, where Republicans are in control, and they're going to try to stop whatever kinds of measures to restrict gun ownership might be introduced. So that's why it's going to be very, very difficult.
Paul Waldman, contributing editor at the American Prospect, talking about the power of the NRA and the history of the assault weapons ban on Capitol Hill. We reached out to the NRA yesterday and offered them a chance to come on to the program, and we did not hear back from them. Paul Waldman, contributing editor at the American Prospect, Stephen Smith, professor of political science at Washington University in St. Louis. And join the conversation.
Jim from Kingston, and the simplest way to help get this in check, anybody who owns a weapon must have liability insurance. And that way, if that weapon is used like a car, then an accident happens or something intentional happens. Let the insurance firms set the rates. I bet gun owner ownership would change dramatically.
Hi, Patty Devine, Fox Island, Washington. Why don't we just increase the price of ammunition? I think Chris Rock even had that idea. So let's just make ammunition cost $1,000 a box. I have no idea. Take care. Hang in there, everyone.
Thanks to Patty and Jim, who called at 877-8-MY-TAKE to weigh in on this conversation. You can join, talk about this or anything else you hear on the program. Coming up, has a change been noted on Capitol Hill regarding this and some other debates? We'll talk with Todd Zwillick in just a moment. This is The Takeaway. Stay with us.